No, I'm
just going to start recording this. So you just literally just talk away, and do you want me here or do you want me out?
I'll just keep. I'm nosy actually, because I want to know about the bog testing van, because I thought it was a really beautiful project. How much of a brief did they give you?
Well, the same brief that you.
Oh, okay. They didn't expand upon that one. Okay.
No. And I kind of came up with a bit of a theme.
Mm.
Went down to Telford, was it? Somewhere down there. Find this vehicle company, you know, who supply mobile exhibition vehicles for the likes of BMW and, you know, big companies. So this was a little project for them.
Mm.
You know, they're normally doing these great big vehicles.
Yeah, motorhome.
Yeah, but they were fine. You know, got underway, and then I think that went fine. But the second part of the project kind of was just put on hold, just because of staff resources, I think. You know, so my real issue, I think, is, you know, you kind of, you got to earn a living, haven't you? That's what you're trying to do. So, you know, you get work will come to you. Regular work is ideal, repeat business is good, you know, people come to you one-offs and never return sometimes.
Mm.
Then, you know, all the sort of local authority, government contracts are tendered. So, you know, you come up, you know, you get sent something sometimes by someone, do you want a quote for this? Now, exactly what you just said, I think, is you think, right, I'll have to spend a week on this.
Yep,
free,
yeah. Well, to win it, you've got to put over, you know, the extra mile in, haven't you? Generally,
you got to spend a week doing work for free, giving people your ideas, doing very deep costing. Then you may not get a project. You know, meanwhile, you've lost a week's income.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so, it's not.
Do you find these? You had many of your ideas pinched from.
Don't know. Don't know. You never know, do you?
Well, we had all our ideas for Blackpool Pleasure Beach pinched, and we sued them. They paid. Rotten sort of term. No, you don't know, do you?
No, you don't know. But I think if you don't put in energy and enthusiasm to win the project, you don't get it.
No.
So if you just put a basic tender in, you know, just a quick sort of costing and what have you. And I mean, I can see there's a real issue really on that. I think it's become a major problem, I think, for me.
The thing that I find vaguely upsetting is there's no loyalty. You might have tendered and pitched three times, but they might just arbitrarily not come back to you on the fourth occasion, even though you've done six pieces of work prior to that are all excellent.
It has changed. I mean, I guess over what, how many years you had a business?
30-odd.
30-odd, yeah, me too. So, you know, you could go back, and I think there was a time where you could go out and find a client, or they'd find you, and, you know, they pretty much reward you for doing, you know,
great
good
work.
And, you know, really committing to them, giving them, prioritising their work, you know, and putting in a lot of extra time. And, you know, you could get 5, 6, 10 years with a client like that, you know. I think you can.
Yeah.
You can. I don't find that.
Whereas
these
now
days,
it's project by project.
Project based. Mm-hmm. Even small organisations feel they need more than one supplier.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That said, there are still individuals who are incredibly loyal and fight very hard to keep you in the process if you've got a relationship with them. And it just comes down to individuals now, doesn't it?
Well, you make friends, don't you, with clients? I mean,
oh, definitely.
You've got to keep them at arm's length, I think. But, you know, you kind of get to know people, and, you know, and they kind of like what you do.
Yeah.
And it's very rewarding, isn't it? When
it's
you sort of like, as a creative person, you know, you need a pat on the back, don't you? Because we're all a bit vulnerable and sensitive, aren't we? You know.
Definitely, artistically vulnerable, that's for sure.
You know, and I really don't like this kind of competitive sort of thing where, you know, you're supposed to bid against someone else. I'm not sure, well, I'm sure it's not ethical, really. You know, committing ideas,
The ideas and the intellectual property one that's always caused me the most sleepless nights. Because it's very easy to pinch good ideas, but you can't give them all your good ideas. My solution is to set up my own business, building my own ideas into sort of commercial product. And that was the only way around, I felt, since ideas were my strong suit, that was the only way around, you know, the commercial arena I was comfortable with. But even then, my brother went and nicked 2 years' worth of work. Can't win.
So you're no longer at the bequest of a client, really, which I think is interesting. Because
well,
you self-initiated,
do both.
Aren't you, project?
Yeah, but you've got to be careful it doesn't become the vanity project, as they call them. It's just sort of self-indulgence.
Yeah.
So I think the mix is healthy. I'm really enjoying you know, doing things that are completely separate and different to the product, and it keeps you on your toes, and it keeps you fresh, and it keeps you contemporary, because you're talking to, again, so the young people have the weaknesses in when it comes to giving you work, but they have the strengths in that they're up to speed with what's fresh and current. Mm. So and you do get your best ideas through collaborative stuff, I think. And the younger they are, generally, the more fresh it is.
Sure, the best ideas are collaborative.
There you go. There's a philosophical there.
I think it's a lot.
You need to collaborate to run the execution of the good idea.
Yeah.
Whether the idea comes from a collaborative place, perhaps not. Perhaps the idea is that's one person's head. But you need to filter for a good idea to decide whether it is a good idea by testing it on people. Otherwise, you might think it's great and the rest of the world just thinks it's...
Yeah, but that's what you're engaged to do, isn't it? Kind of been engaged to apply this creative, you know, analytical, critical thinking, you know, that is based on what? Experience, judgment, you know, design, sense, whatever you want to call it.
Mm.
And, you know, I kind of... I suspect, you know, if you and I sat down and were given a kind of similar brief look at, we'd kind of call for something that's fairly similar in general direction, maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Best solution stuff.
Yeah.
Best practice stuff. Yeah, I agree.
And the creative spark is a tiny part of the process. I mean, I'm finding more and more now that, you know, you given projects and the sort of the exciting, interesting bit is this little part of the task, really, you know. And then there's a lot of just sort of seeing
administration, art working,
technical stuff, you know,
proofreading,
accommodating the client's whims, you know. Can you just make that line a bit thicker?
Have you
please,
not learned that,
you know?
What you do is you always supply work that's 95%, so they've got 5% that they can fiddle with.
Well,
that's my trick.
That you just have to accommodate their wishes because they're paying the bill, and this
Absolutely.
Is where if you want in sort of like to build a relationship with a client, you've just got to go along with everything. You can't be prima donna, can you?
No,
you
no.
know.
No,
and there, that is there's a real difference, you know, there kind of what you're doing in terms of you creating your own artifacts for sale. And you're the arbiter, you know, you've got the final say, haven't you, on what colour and exactly what that should be.
Sort of, but I also test the product on people a lot.
Right.
I ask questions because, like I say, that the best results are, you know, I've scrapped so many ideas that I thought were great, and because other people thought, well, they were indifferent to them or didn't like the fire, whereas the most random things, like dogs. I had no idea that 50% of my customers loved dogs, so they say, do dog bowls, do tea towels, all the things that you naturally want to steer away from because you feel the hackneyed or cliched, but actually that's what people want, to find a fresh way of doing that product.
Mm.
Which then has its own exciting challenges because you're trying to do something that hasn't been done before, but the actual the end product is sort of an ask 1,000 people job.
Mm. I'll change subject then. We're drying up on that one. Here we are.
Dogs are where it's at, man.
Dog bowls. I like the idea of dog bowls.
Dog bowls are great. Apart from you don't want to make them... I would have very happily gone straight down the ceramicists, made them all out of fine bone china.
Fine bone china.
Yeah, and until you start asking people and they go, no, dog will destroy it. No, dog will destroy it. The dog will not... No, it's not big enough. And the average dog bowl size, really, for food, is huge.
It's
much, much bigger than I thought. Anyway, so, yeah, you don't know until you ask.
Well, expanding on the dog bowl idea, where are we? And just kind of the Hope Valley bit. Do we get something like, why are you here?
Well, we're in a van.
You're
here,
van.
Sitting
yeah,
in
great.
A van.
Okay.
Two designers in a van in the Hope Valley.
Now, that's good.
Reminds me of that film. Have you seen The Lady in the Van? The
yeah.
It's kind of a bit like that, isn't it?
Yes, it's very much so. I'll be Maggie Smith.
Yeah.
I'll suffer that.
Oh, yes, I am the great unwashed. Fair enough.
Look, I've got a connection there, because I once spent a winter in Clapham fitting out an information centre display.
Cool.
As a young man, I went to work for the Orchards National Park, and one of their little centres was in Clapham, and me and this German joiner, German extraction, spent the winter up in Clapham, you know, literally stripping out and building this new exhibition. And Alan Bennett, you may not know this, has a cottage in Clapham.
Oh, right, OK.
Just across the way. So there's my connection, and back to the vehicle. There, you know, Alan Bennett's van.
Brilliant, yeah.
It's a small world, isn't it?
Oh,
Simon's a good one, Dan. I mean, when you and I got our van, there was
no, that's true. No, we were first generation tea for us. Yeah. It was a small world of van ownership. Richard was my inspiration. He got one first, then I got one.
Richard
Cooper. He makes salt bins, grit bins, litter bins for the whole country. Street furniture.
Yeah. Right.
But Richard had a T4, Frisian green, and then I got a Frisian green T4 and lived in it. Went up to Scotland for climbing. I had a door for a bed and two wooden crates prop it up to keep it off the ground to keep the cooking stuff in. And then the door fell off the crates when you went round the corner fast. Those are the days.
We all had cars, and I never even dreamt only having that. Since I had the van, I've literally done everything.
I've never had a car since I've had that.
Do you sleep in it? Do you like to live in it?
We do sleep in it. This is the bed.
Yeah,
like Martin's not a proper vagrant like what I is.
No.
I actually lived in my van for 6 months after travelling, living in a tent. It was an upgrade from a tent for 2 years.
Yeah.
And ditches.
Well, that is a whole new another podcast. Yeah, no, the whole van culture has transformed the appreciation. You know, they come out, and there's big buses major down that as well. Right? In the old days, you travel up Scotland now.
You have a problem with camper vans. My one experience of hiring a camper van didn't go well.
So you're not a convert then?
No, we decided to go on holiday to Scotland and gone to Rochdale. I don't know why Rochdale, to hire a biggish camper van. Setting off, many years ago, they're setting off, leaving the car park. And this guy's kind of like guiding me out, waving me on. You're okay, go on, yeah, you're okay, keep going. Right, off you go. And I kind of turned the corner and scraped the van down the side of his gatepost. You know, hadn't even gone anywhere. And he took one look and said, "It'll be all right. You get off on your holiday. We'll sort it out when you get back."
All the time you're thinking pound notes.
That's the deposit.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I've had a bad start with camper van. Also, this is really quite comfortable. I could sit here for a while. Quite nice. Quite like the way the seats turn around.
This has now become an art in itself.
Designing a camper van.
But designing, instead of just taking what's pitched up. And a lot of people, my ideas of camper vans and other people are vastly different. Why would I have a toilet, for example? There's a lot of people out there who wouldn't be seen dead without a toilet. Yeah, but those sort of things.
What have you got in here then? You got a sink or anything?
I've got
a fridge for your beer? Or?
No, we've got a camper, like a mobile cooking unit with a sink and burner unit in the back, which is actually portable. I could bring it in here if I wanted, like it's a mobile barbecue. I don't have a fridge yet, but we have a 12-volt cooler, and the whole van's fired up for 12 volts.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? I had a client call and visit me on Friday. One thing I do is books, design books, Johnny. This guy from Scotland, near Inverness, he rang me to say, "Peter, I'm in the Hope Valley. We've come down to Derby to buy a camper, the only one I could find in England. And it took us 50 hours to get there on the bus."
Wow.
"And we've got the camper van. And we parked up, and I thought I'd pop in to see you." So I came over and said hello. I never met him before, just done this project, as you do, at arm's length. And he was so pleased with his camper van, and we were chatting about where he was going to go. So his idea was to drive back to Inverness.
Yeah.
So through the Peak District, Yorkshire Dales, Lake District, and onwards.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, but none of the campsites are open, because they don't open until April the 1st, is that right?
A lot of them, yeah. So, the caravan club and that lot can be quite funny about.
So it's not like Scotland, you can't just pull over and park and sleep over.
There's regional restrictions. Especially national parks, they all have their own different rules.
But can you just go and park this up somewhere? I see people doing it all the time, some of the little car parks.
Yeah. There are places, but they're kind of getting over us. And also there's a beat park particularly.
Well, they've just changed the legislation. They've just changed the way they police it. Like, the parking's just... They've just started regulating the parking 3-4 weeks ago and giving you a ticket.
National car park.
Peak Park, but the lakes have been very on the ball since 10-15 years ago.
Yeah.
Scotland's always been, you can go anywhere.
It's called wild camping in the sense that you are a camper van, but it is, you can camp most places. But I've found we've been introduced to Brit Stop, which is brilliant. It's an app, and lots of pubs have bought into the idea. You can park up in their car park for free. They've got facilities if you want them, and as long as you kind of
buy a beer.
Buy a beer.
a meal.
It's been Norfolk Armistice, that. Yeah. The end of Ringing Low Road. I thought, brilliant. And you see dozens of them at the weekend.
Oh,
all ranked up, yeah, in sort of little to large. And it's quite impressive.
I parked the van up there just because it's a fantastic view, like the mobile. I asked them, I ran out of electricity once. I was in wine up there. It's a fire up there, a leisure battery. But they said, well, you've got an outside electric sourcing. Why can't you extend it to the other end of the car park? And they did. So there's now hookups for camper vans. And it's taken them about a year to kind of get the idea.
Get with it.
Realising this is actually an aid sourcing.
They're on to a winner, though, because there's so few pub car parks that will accommodate that volume.
Yeah.
And it's the toileting that they're all sensitive about.
Yeah.
But if you can reassure them, or they've got 24-hour access toilets. Like the Fox House used to be no problem because they had an external toilet, and then they decided to lock it up.
Yeah.
And now it's a problem, so you can't, and they move you on, which is interesting, at 6 in the morning. But yeah, I only found 3 places when I was living in my van in the Peak District I could actually park and not be bothered. And probably a few more now. Bill Gordon, bless him, is retired. But he used to knock on the window, just for fun, really, at R5, just because he knew it was me and he
Stanage.
Yeah, understand it.
A bit like narrow boats and canals. I remember meeting this guy in a canal pub down in Hempstead, that way somewhere. And he just lived on his boat. He just went up and down, you know, the, what would it have been, Birmingham to London
Canal?
Grand Union,
is
it?
Yeah.
Just up and down there, just pulling in at pubs. He said, you have to keep moving. You know, you can have a couple of days. And then he said, I might stay for a week somewhere, you know, and might do a bit of casual work. And then move on, and
that's cool. You can still do that. Wow,
do that for 6 months of the year. And it's a different
leisurely life, that.
Gosh. Retirement, isn't it? That, I suppose. Mm. So, I think camper vans go with retirement quite well, don't they? Probably.
I don't know. I've kind of lived in my van since the 20s, so 30s.
This is why it's so diverse.
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure, really. The smaller van, this is a lifestyle. All the climbers have camper vans because it's accommodation sorted. You can start up early in the morning. So runners are getting that way as well, aren't they? And all the long
bikers.
Distance runners, mountain bikers. I don't know, actually. Mountain bikers are still a bit nesh. They still like the hotels.
So do you mean? Oh, right.
And then go biking from a hotel.
Vans,
there's a gang I go with to Peebles to they like the hotel, but they'll never hear this.
Right, on that note, that is nearly 17
minutes. Okay.
So
you edit that down.
I'll edit that down to 30 seconds. Yeah, we'll see. Just before you move, I'm just going to check that I've got a picture.
It suddenly made me realise how conscious I am. I'm usually very quiet in conversations.
Yeah, it's funny,
isn't it? I didn't realise, but I'm very good. I've started listening rather than talking.
Yeah, that's probably one of my faults, that, actually. Yeah, because you want to say something, don't you?
Are you married?
I was married. I have a partner, but
ask her, she'll tell you.
Yeah.
they're very forthcoming. Very forthcoming with the you don't listen bit.
You talk too much, we didn't really talk about design, did we? Maybe we ought to do it again sometime.
Yeah, well, come around, have a coffee sometime. Know where I am, don't
you? Yeah, brilliant.
It's a good career. What I'm really loving is being reborn and just finding it again properly. Because when you've got staff, you spend 80% of your time managing staff, and when you've got no staff, you spend 80% of your time doing the job. And I'm very, very happy with that.
Yeah, that was my bugbear, you know, just spending time correcting people and
setting
them on the right lines and trying to tread carefully because you didn't want to upset the feelings.
But invariably, I used to do their job in the evenings. They'd let them do it in the day, play, give it to the client, see what the client said, and then redo it in the evening. And I just thought, yeah, great.
Yeah, I think that's what I meant by, like, it's quite a lonely business, really. Because I think, I've never worked in a big company.
No.
I guess even if you did work in a big company, you know, you'd still be kind of working on your own to some degree. You know, I've never worked collaboratively. You know, like, I've never worked in advertising agency.
You do with the interpretation work, though, don't you? Don't you work with teams of copywriters and illustrators? And
a little bit. To some degree. But I never worked collaboratively with a partner, copywriter partner, something like that, where, like, you know, a lot of creative teams were like that, don't they?
And
you...
That's the bit I'm looking forward to, more and more of that. Mm. Especially with making furniture and working with the ceramicists and finding out about how what they can and can't do with colour and screen prints and stuff.
Mm,
that I find quite fun.
Good luck with all of that.
Yeah. So far it's working. It hasn't cost me out.
Good stuff.